Well, you're feeling lucky? How come some people are lucky, other people aren't? In a moment, our special guest tonight, Peter C. Siegel, we'll talk with him about luck in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Oh, this is going to be a dandy tonight. Peter Siegel is the country's foremost sports and peak performance hypnotherapist. For the last 27 years, he has personally worked with world-class and professional athletes, entertainment celebrities, people in the business, helping them elevate their performance impact. His acclaimed therapeutic approach, compelling communication style, and decades of the in-the-trenches experience make him a top motivator, teacher, clinician in the field of human potential development. Mr. Siegel is also a highly sought-after expert on mega confidence building, overcoming fears, and memory empowerment. He's our guest tonight on Coast to Coast AM. Peter, how are you?
It's a pleasure to be here with you, George.
You know, and I guess saying to you, how are you, would be an understatement, because you're probably always upbeat, aren't you?
Well, you know what? I live a kind of lifestyle where I have to be a very powerful catalyst and energizer to many, many people. So I do what I need to do every day to make sure that I stay in the zone.
For you to get in this field, you must have, when you were younger, just been loaded with all kinds of positive energy.
Well, actually, you know what? I don't know if I was loaded with all kinds. I knew from a very young age that there was an energy force, a power beyond what I was able to understand. I didn't know how to explain. I mean, I remember back to 4 years old, I kept saying, what is this? What is, and it kept showing up in my life. And then it kept leading me to think different ways and do different things than most other kids did. In other words, I would start to think about, why do I think about what I think about at age 7? When most kids are having fun riding their bikes and just being kids, I started to really think about, you know, what my purpose is, what am I here for? And then what really got me into the field was I was a competitive athlete, and I used to get real nervous before games for some unexplained reason.
The old butterflies, right?
Well, I didn't have butterflies. I had, you know, golden eagles. And I couldn't understand why. But when I would make a big play or I would score a goal, the entire dynamic changed, and I had this boundless Energizer Bunny kind of energy and confidence and control and impact. So I began to study hypnosis as a way to find out how to help myself overcome this, because I realized if I was afflicted by or experienced that kind of situation, probably millions of other people would have the same issues. And then I realized that that was my life's purpose. That was my work, to help people become as strong, as accomplished, as functional, and as successful as I could.
I got to tell you, Peter, I mean, it's going to be fun talking with you tonight about a lot of subjects, including people who are lucky, people who are unlucky. But in this thing, I think you're in the zone. I think somehow you got into what I always call the wireless internet. You're in the groove. Gosh knows how long you've been in it, but you're there.
You know what? When you live a life to where you have to go through deep, unconscious thought, and I'm a very prolific self-help author and magazine article writer, and I work with tons of pro athletes and, you know, mega performance people who can't afford to have a bad day. They get paid millions of dollars to show up and play or to run companies or to, you know, put on incredible performances. And so almost 30 years in this field right now, I've gone into trance and subconscious deep thought, but so often every single day, it just becomes you. And I know as an accomplished radio broadcaster, you know exactly what I mean. What your profession becomes you, and without even thinking, you do your greatest work.
And you enjoy it.
Oh, it's my passion. I you know what, George? I look forward to the stress, the pressure, the problem, the situation, because when people bring me in, things aren't going the way they want to. They're in a slump. They're not doing well. They sense they should be doing better. They're looking how to get more and better out of themselves, and they've tried everything from religion to drugs.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and then I come in, and I know my confidence level is off the charts because I know exactly what needs to be done, exactly how to do it, and it takes me less than 3 minutes to get to the bottom line with anyone. And then I can help to begin to rectify situations and give you strategies and processes and exciting life transformational empowerment kinds of exercises that move you from where you are to where you really know you can and should be and want to be.
You know, I'm suspecting now, Peter, and a lot of people are, that there are a lot of people that are very confused right now, maybe unhappy. They're just, their emotional energy level is way down. Something's happening to them. And maybe after this program with you tonight, we can help a few. But are you sensing that as well, that there's just, maybe it's the bombardment of terrorism, maybe it's the war, maybe it's the fact that you hear that North Korea has a nuke. I don't know what it is, but people just aren't acting right.
You know, that's a very astute question and a very astute understanding, because I've discussed this at length. Because of negative news media bombardment every single day, you never hear of anything good happening anymore. Who got shot? Who got raped? Who got robbed? What gangs killed other gangs? And now, who's got a nuke? Who's threatening us? In other words, people are not only getting confused, they're becoming anxious, they're becoming depressed, they're losing hope, they're losing faith. I mean, if you remember years ago, H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds?
Yes.
People ran out in the streets expecting to see these flying saucers shooting ray guns at them. Well, that's one of the things that's very important, is you have to begin to decide what life is and who you are and what life has in store for you and can be, and to begin to do your own thinking. Because in response to your question, what I believe is happening is that people are allowing external factors to begin to subliminally influence their belief systems. And that's dangerous, because if you don't learn how to control your thinking, you can't control and influence and determine your emotional state. And that's the key, George, because once your emotions begin to become influenced by what's going on outside of you, then you're at the control of circumstance instead of creating circumstance. And that is an essential change and a shift that must happen, and it happens by changing your mentality.
This past weekend, Peter, I had to fly to Seattle for my book signing, and while I'm sitting at one of the airports, because they're all the same now,
yeah,
I hear this same recorded message that Homeland Security has got condition orange at airports, and it's constant. I mean, it's like, yep, it's almost like it's no longer even subliminal anymore. It reminded me of a bad Big Brother movie, you know, where you see the screen of this guy's head and he's constantly talking and people are going about their business.
Right.
I mean, that was my impression, and I'm listening to this thing, exactly, and it's finally beginning to dawn on me that they're playing with our minds.
Not playing with our minds. They are intentionally, purposefully directing your thinking, because through doing that, it enables them to control behavior much more efficiently. And let me add a caveat to what you just said. Not only is this suspiciousness going on when you go to the airport, but you look at your fellow people on the plane and you begin to think, hey, could this person be a terrorist? Is this person hiding something? So there's this suspiciousness and cynicism being projected to your fellow man. That's the extent that this is moving.
If some poor guy is in the bathroom any more than 2 minutes, I want to get up and pull him out.
That's right. And then he comes back and he sits down, and you're looking at him, and he's saying, he goes, what? I just went to the bathroom. And you're, yeah, but what were you really doing?
Yeah, exactly. And then you get up and go, and people look at you the same way. I mean, so it is strange. Can this be changed? And are they doing this on purpose, or are they that stupid that they really believe? Now, I don't doubt there isn't terrorism, okay? It's there. How it's caused, let's not even worry about that issue right now. But what are they trying to do? Are they doing this on purpose, or are they just that dumb they don't know what they're doing to us?
Well, again, in other words, I think their attitude, George, is it's better to be safe than sorry. And so if we assume at a certain level that everyone could be a potential terrorist, or everyone could potentially have some kind of, you know, negative aspect that we would necessarily have to look into, then it begins to sort of stimulate people being nervous. And they know that if you are a suspect, if you are going to be doing something, that nervous behavior is going to come out more so when the magnifying glass is put closer upon you. You see what I'm saying?
Well, you're a hypnotherapist, right, and you're a darn good one, and you know what motivates someone's mind. You also know how to manipulate someone's mind, and not because you go ahead and do it, you just know how to do it. Are they doing this to us for a specific reason? I mean, are they just trying to keep us under their thumb?
Yes, to control us, to let us know or to make us know that they, if you step out of line, that you're being looked at, you're being thought of as a possible problem, a possible problem, a possible problem. That's the subliminal inference that you unconsciously are impacted by with that message that you hear about the level, about the orange level, isn't it? You're a possible problem. Could it be me? Could it be the person next to me? What's going to go on? But you see, what's happening is you're losing sight of the fact of, who am I? What am I? Where am I going? That has really nothing to do with me, but it's continuing to be looked at. I'm looked at by the TSA people. I'm looked at by these. I have to walk through these screen, these metal detectors. I have to take my shoes off now. I can't bring any kind of beverages on the plane anymore. I will, you know, any kind of possibility now, you're lumped into the mix. So you lose your individuality. And that's what they're trying to do. They are striving to control. And again, in terms of manipulation, I could be if I wanted to be. But what I do is I give in very, very implicit subconscious direction so that you can begin to reclaim what's now causing you fear and anxiety and worry and the unknown confusion that you're referring to. When you take charge of your mind, George, that's when you begin to reclaim your power.
I have gotten to know a couple TSA agents real well in St. Louis because I go back and forth between St. Louis and L.A. And these are great guys, and they know me. And believe me, they check me all the time because that's their job. So there's no free ride here, right, even for me. The shoes go off, the belt comes off, and everything else. But there was a day, Peter, that I'd gone through the machine. They checked my bags, and I'm sitting in the chair where my plane is going to take off in about an hour. And I've got my head down. I'm reading a newspaper, and I look up, and lo and behold, there are 8 feet surrounding me. That's what I see because I'm reading this newspaper.
Guys that you know?
No. Well, I didn't know who I knew at that point. I'm just looking at their feet.
Okay.
And I look up. And there's the one guy I knew, and then there's 3 other guys, and they're surrounding me. And I'm going, what the heck?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, everybody in this portion of the airport is dead silent. It's like one of these E.F. Hutton commercials.
Right.
They've got these 4 guys surrounding me, and, you know, I'm Middle Eastern, and I look Middle Eastern.
Okay.
And I'm Lebanese, okay?
So
I'm sitting there. And I'm saying, oh, man, this is going to be a mess. And all of a sudden, they start going, we love Coast to Coast. And I mean, I just...
asking you for autographs to take pictures with you.
And I calm down. They're shaking my hand. And you know, right, we're doing the posing.
Yeah.
And people all around us are then beginning to say, oh, who is this guy?
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, for that one split second, it was a very scary moment.
Right. Well, again, you see, because especially... you know, Middle Eastern looking people, they're going to put an extra special focus upon that. Okay? So, again, you were a celebrity. That's why they were approaching you, but you didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
But unconsciously, that never entered your mind. You thought, all right, man, what do they want here? What are they going to put me through? And so that's the kind of fear, intimidation that leads to ability to control people. If you noticed, everybody around you got real silent because they didn't know what was going to happen. And then everyone's looking at you as, oh, he must be a suspect in some way, and they're going to apprehend him now. And instead, they're asking you for your autograph and to take pictures with you.
And then you feel so much better.
You don't feel happy about being a celebrity. You'll feel relieved that you're not going to get
exactly,
and
you know,
taken away.
Peter, I've never thought of myself as anything other than me all my life, even now.
Well, George, the fact is, you are a celebrity. You're one of the top radio hosts in the country. So, and millions of people internationally know you. So, I mean, that's a blessing, I think.
But they almost hauled me off, Peter. Michael Shermer, he's been on the program before.
Right.
He writes Skeptic Magazine.
Right.
And, you know, I like the guy. I like the guy because he approaches things with a different kind of eye and ear. And, you know, I'm a believer in a lot of strange things. But I like Shermer because I think he's refreshing. I think he's healthy. You've got a little understanding about him. Tell us about this.
Well, I mean, I read an article in ScientificAmerican.com that he wrote about discussing luck. And basically what it boiled down to was he's a proponent who believed that luck is an extension of state of mind. And as I read it, I said, you know, he has more of an understanding than most people, because when you understand what luck really is, and I've studied this a long time, George, because people come to me when they're going through the most extreme bouts of bad luck. They're in a slump. They haven't, you know, let's say the baseball player, they're 0 for their last 75.
The cooler is there standing by them.
There. And I mean, every sport, and in business too, the celebrities, I haven't got a call back or a new movie or a sitcom for so long now, and what's going on? Or the business people, we just had two bad quarters, and they begin to change their states of mind, their belief systems, their perceptions of what's upcoming, and they begin to sort of, if you've ever seen the tent stakes, if you've gone camping, the kind that you can screw into the ground,
yes,
that's what they basically do emotionally and spiritually, is they take these tent stakes in their souls and they screw them deeper and deeper in terms of negativity. They presume a continuance of the bad, instead of saying, why for so long have I done well? Have I succeeded? Have I triumphed? Did that just all of a sudden take wings and take flight? And but they believe it does. And so, you know, that's why I loved what Shermer had to say about luck, because it in other words, at that level, in a different way than I embrace and approach it, he's validating that luck is an extension of state of mind.
Why is it that some people appear to be more luckier than other people?
If you were to unconsciously explore the thought process and belief frameworks of someone who's lucky most of the time, in comparison to someone who has bad luck, who goes into a slump, who vacillates, who goes up and down, what do you think the major difference would be?
Attitude?
Belief that I'm supposed to succeed, that goodness, success, triumph, and completion awaits me, that I deserve the goodness in life, and that I can and should have the capacity to produce this kind of goodness and experience it as much as anyone else. That's been my experience. When you unconsciously dissect, in other words, when I'm in session with someone, I find out that these are the limiting, encumbering factors that move them into this sort of like self-limiting, self-sabotaging, that tent spiraling screw down of negativity even more so into their lives. And so if someone is really lucky, and as opposed to someone who's really not lucky, you have to look at it this way, that luck is a life response to a mentally generated and projected energy field that is either enrichment, enhancement attractive, or sabotaging, undermining attractive. It is an effect, George. Luck is an effect of some context of conscious but predominantly unconscious thought processing. And if you ask yourself, is good luck a cause? Is bad luck a cause? No, it's an effect. And you know, and all the listeners know, if something is an effect, then there's a cause to that effect, a cause creating that effect. And so that's the most important thing to understand. And what we're discussing tonight is, what causes this? Why does it happen? And why does it continue to seemingly spiral out of control if you let it and you allow it to continue?
I've got a friend in St. Louis who always says, George, I'm the most unluckiest guy in the world. I've got a black cloud over my head all the time. And I always tell him, and I'll use his first name because he knows who he is, Howard, you got to remove that cloud over your head. And he says, nah, it'll stay forever.
Okay, now, very interesting. And that's a very astute statement you just made as well, George. This guy, that he wasn't born with that tendency and affinity.
No.
Let me give you an example here.
I'll tell you, hold the example. We're going to take this quick break, Peter.
Sure.
I can't believe how fast this show is going tonight. Stay with us. Peter C. Siegel, our guest. His website, incrediblechange.com. It's linked up at coasttocoastam.com. We're going to continue talking about luck tonight. And then a little bit later on, we'll open up the phone lines and see what you have to say. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, for those of you who are StreamLink members, it's fun time for you tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Pacific time. The StreamLink chat will be with Jim Mars. He's all lined up. Lex has ready to go. Jim's really excited about it. So jump on board. That's going to fill up very fast. So 8 p.m., StreamLink members, you can chat with none other than Jim Marrs, Alien Agenda. Our guest tonight is Peter Siegel. Okay, Peter, the example, my friend, who's got this black cloud over his head, he says that he can't get rid of it.
Okay. Let me just explain to you that no one is born that way. In other words, we don't come into the world with predispositions toward negativity, presumptions of inability, or some kind of undermining force being what's going to direct our lives. That's a learned behavior. It extends from his parents' mentality that was infused into him, that he was subjected to, exposed to, and was reinforced time and time again. Maybe it was familial, maybe it was generational, maybe, quote-unquote, that's the way people in his family have always thought. Let me give you two examples,
sure,
because I want you to, the listeners to understand a critical thing here, that thoughts are not just confined within your skull, that when you think, either consciously and much more so unconsciously, George, you're projecting energy out. And that kind of energy, let me explain and give you a couple examples of these mentally projected energy fields and the kind of impact and attraction influence that they carry. Have you ever been in a restaurant or a library or some public place, a bus, a train, the mall, and you get the feeling that someone is looking at you?
Yes, many
okay,
times.
So what is it? What is it that you think you're feeling? What are you feeling?
I feel a vibration. I feel
right.
Something like
you
that.
Feel something
a
like
piercing.
That.
Feeling.
You feel their mental projection of thought. They can you can consciously mobilize and generate that kind of thought intensity to where you'll make someone turn around and they look right into your eyes. You felt their thought projection. Another, and even this, and this example will directly coincide to your friend Howard. You may have heard of this study where you take two identical houseplants and you put one in, you put them in different rooms, and you would give them the same amount of water, the same amount of exposure to sunlight, the same amount of plant food, but one, every time you see it, you silently mentally project, I love you, I value you, you're so important, I expect you to grow and thrive because you're a great plant, you're an incredible plant, and you're valued, you're cared about, and every time you see and feel me, and I'm in your presence, this is the kind of nurturing, life-advancing energy that I will project, and you can expect me to project into you. And the other one, every time you see it, you mentally, silently project, I hate you, you're worthless, you're nothing, you're miserable, you'll never amount to anything. After 3 months, what do you think each of those plants looks like?
I would guess that the one that you treated kindly is blooming, and the other one is kind of wilting.
Exactly, not kind of wilting, it's stunted. It's stunted. And now, let's look at that effect upon plants. Now, let's look at parents who do that to their children, either knowingly or unknowingly, projecting those kinds of sentiments or communicating verbally those kinds of sentiments. And now you can understand more deeply how your friend Howard came to think and believe the way he does.
I bet every guy will admit to this, Peter, that sometime in his life, whether he was in high school or a grown adult, he tried to use his mind to have some woman look back at him. Whether you're sitting behind someone or across a crowded room, I bet every guy at one point in his life tried to concentrate on this person he sees just so she'd turn around and look.
If you believe and you had the confidence and the self relationship with yourself where you believed in yourself and you thought that you had good positive qualities that she would be interested in and you had a healthy self-respect and healthy self-esteem, you could project that kind of energy and there would be a response. But what happens is if you try to do that and get her to look, in other words, why don't you just go up to her if you feel that way and just say, hi, my name is Peter, my name is George, I'd like to talk to you about this, or some kind of interest point. I mean, I have an exercise that I show when I do a seminar where I have someone stand 3 feet in front of me, and I can have them close their eyes without saying a word. I can either push them back and they almost fall back, or I can draw them to me just by projecting a certain mental context. It's very, very tangible. And so, yes, guys maybe have tried to get women to attract, but better if you look at in terms of what would you like to attract in life? And why aren't you? And let me give you an example. And yeah, you're going to love this. This is something you could help your friend Howard with. And this is critical.
To he's probably listening to you right now, as a matter of fact.
Well, here's the thing, George. Because you made a statement. You know, you said to him, you know, Howard, you got to get rid of that black cloud. Even if he got rid of that black cloud, do you think the absence of that black cloud would bring about the change and the results he'd want?
Nope, because I think he'd somehow create another black cloud.
You know why? You're right. The answer is no, because the absence of the bad is not the good. It's just the absence of the bad. People think that if they're not suffering, they're not miserable, they're not destitute, they're not thrown out in the street, then things are good. That's why when you meet someone who says, hey, how's it going? And they say, not bad. Well, what are they comparing it to? You know, the negativity. And where does that negative comparison come from? Just because someone's not miserable doesn't mean they're happy. It's because someone's not sick doesn't mean they're healthy. Because someone is not poor doesn't mean they're wealthy. It just means they're not the bad. And so taking that dark cloud off happens by asking him, if you could have life and yourself and things happen the way you'd want to, how would that be for you? A new self redefinition, a new life redefinition. But he's so used to thinking, oh man, the dark cloud, I'm jinxed, no prayer, no change, no hope. Why do you think that? Where did that come from? It came from either direct or subliminal inference or conditioning from his parents and him never taking the time to say, wait a second, why do I allow this? Why do I believe this? And if I could change it into what I want, how would I do that? And what would that be?
How does this energy, let's call it that, how does this energy work? How do people tap into this? How do they change their own destiny?
Okay. First thing is you have to begin to define if you could have yourself and your life or situations the way you'd like them, how would that be? Because energy is just energy. The energy of electricity, George, can either kill you or it can cook your food, right?
That's right. And make you live well.
Exactly. And it's how you choose to use it. Here's a great example that the listeners will all relate to. If you remember the years ago, I don't know if they still have them, there were those the slide carousels that you could put individual picture slides in. That then you had a controller.
Oh, it would just go round and round and round.
And you fill it up with these slides.
Yeah.
And there was a light in the back that projected, and when the image that dropped in front of that light, when the image drops in front of that light, the light passes through that image and projects outward the context of that image. The light, if you really want to look at a great example, that's the energy. That's the life force within you.
Without that light, you could never see the slide.
Exactly. And it depends upon what slide you drop in front of that light that projects outward, then becomes an image. Now, if you look at your power, you have conscious power, but even more so, you have this infinite, limitless, vast subconscious power, subconscious potential. And when you begin to create new images, new self-definitions, redefinitions of what you want, not what you don't want, but exactly if you could have it the way you want it, how would that be? And people are never taught to do that. They never think to do that. Why? Because they believe that they're at the effect of what other people do, other people think, and other people will only allow them to go to a certain level or a certain degree. And if you expose yourself to limited thinking, such as your friend Howard does, that's the best he could ever hope for. Why? Because he keeps passing the same slide in front of that light, and that's the image that directs him exclusively.
You know, when I came back from Seattle, I was thinking on the plane this weekend that I had met 600 to 700 people who listened to Coast religiously out of that Seattle area.
How did that feel? Like? You must have been on cloud nine, huh?
I love people,
yeah.
Peter, and I love being in a crowd
That's
with
huge,
them.
That's huge,
I just feed on it.
Right.
And I'm looking at everybody. I mean, everyone is an individual. Everyone was happy and smiling and upbeat, and I'm looking at them, and then all of a sudden equate that for a moment to the millions of people listening to this program right now. Everybody out there, including you and including me, we're individuals. You know, we wake up in the morning, we have a life, we have friends and family, or maybe we're simply alone, and maybe Coast to Coast is their family. But everybody has this feeling, and I think what you've been trying to do for your whole lifetime is to harness this feeling for people so they can realize just how powerful it really is and how it can change their life.
Well, I've been doing more than trying to harness the feeling. I have harnessed it, and I've gone, and every time I harness it, I teach it to my clients, and I write about it in my articles and discuss it in my web seminars and podcasts. But then the difference between Pete Siegel and every other hypnotherapist that I've ever met is I just don't stay there. I keep pushing it and pushing it higher and further. In other words, I don't just don't push the envelope. I throw it away and put a bigger envelope in its place, and then I expand upon that. So in terms of harnessing that power, yes. And everybody has the power. Why? Because everybody wants more, don't they, George? Everybody wants to have increase. Everybody wants to feel good and loved and life and of life, and they want to experience this thing called potential unfolding and becoming more so a fact in their lives. It starts with choice, doesn't it?
It sure does.
It starts with belief, and that which then unfolds into and becomes belief, which then unfolds and into and becomes behavioral direction, which then produces outcomes in your life. Bring it back to the cause, which is, what do you believe you can do, you're supposed to do, and what do you believe life holds in store for you in terms of possibilities, blessings, and kinds of results that you really sense you can achieve and experience. Why? Because you look at the person across the street, you see someone on the news, and you think, you know what, they're no better than me. They're not. But they just think differently and believe differently and embrace and emotionalize that belief so it becomes externalized fact.
With all this, then, what is your definition? What's your take on the word luck?
Well, again, luck is a life response to a mentally projected and generated energy field. Luck is how life responds to you. I mean, look, there are those who believe that luck is divine intervention because you've been such a good, helpful, service-oriented person that God has blessed you. And I ascribe to that to a degree as well. But I know I work with people and I help them overcome slumps. I help them change their luck directly. Actually, a more appropriate way to define it is I help them help themselves overcome what was causing this slump, and then they can begin to reassert the ability, the strength, the beliefs, the confidence levels, and the capacity and the sort of action orientation that produces the kinds of success outcomes that they're capable of. Luck is an effect of a cause, and that cause directly has to do with your conscious, but much more so predominantly unconscious state of mind. So here's the way you can begin to move yourself into this new realm of thinking that can directly and will directly influence your luck or the quality and kinds of life responses that begin to unfold for you. If you would imagine, now those driving right now, keep your eyes on the road and stay totally focused and just let your conscious mind hear what I'm saying, and you focus exactly on what you do right in front of you. But if you begin to imagine that there was a you sitting in front of you 3 feet and you began to look at it from the standpoint of strength and competence and capability, and began to think about, what do you think right now? Why do you believe what you believe? Are you someone who was brought into this world to not, to lack, to be miserable, to be unhappy, to be unfulfilled? certainly logic would tell you what, George?
Well, I would say to me that I am happy and fulfilled.
Logic would say that you're not here to be miserable. You're not here to have lack, to be impoverished, to be destitute, to be confused. You're here to be happy and well-adjusted and strong and functional and capable and generate ever more positive and result-producing actions and to have fulfilling relationships. And people say, oh, Pete, you're painting this sort of idealist rainbow picture, rainbows and strawberries. And I say, like, my immediate response is, how come you don't paint pictures like that?
Right.
And what kind of pictures do you paint? And if you painted enough of those pictures and hung them on the wall in a gallery setting, would anyone off the street come into your gallery and want to see that? And they sit there, George, you know, the nonverbal with the legs crossed and the arms folded, and you can tell they never, ever considered that before. That's what luck is. Luck is a life response to the strength, the contexts, and the scope of your unconscious thought process.
The guy who's in Vegas, and he's got the dice in his hand, and he's ready to throw it, can he alter those numbers with positive thinking, or is that a different kind of luck? Is that maybe just chance?
Well, you know, there is chance, there is luck, but if you go here, have you ever felt, remember the Dirty Harry movie? He said, you feeling lucky today, punk?
Yeah, huh? He's holding his Magnum at him, yeah.
And the guy's shaking and sweating because a 44 Magnum is being held to his head. But have you ever, George, have you ever felt lucky?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, what happened, if recall the very last time when you felt lucky, really lucky. Think about what happened right before that feeling occurred within you.
I was feeling as if I could do nothing wrong.
Okay, now, say it in a positive way. I felt as if I could only do right. I knew I could only succeed.
Because nothing wrong is kind of negative, isn't it?
Well, it's like this. If I tell you, George, don't think of pink elephants.
Yeah.
What do you think of?
A pink elephant.
Or if you go to a party and someone is there that you don't like and you say, no matter what, I will not get angry. What do you think the first time you see that person you're going to feel?
You'll probably get angry.
Probably you will get angry.
Yeah.
If you say, I am relaxed, I am at ease, always communicate to yourself in positive, life-advancing ways. Because then your subconscious can take that command and do something positive with it. But you knew in your heart that you could only do right. You could only succeed. That's the key. Because you defined what success was. And you felt capable and strong and competent and that things were going your way and that things should be going your way, didn't you?
Yep.
That was the main thing. Things should be going your way. And then you take it a next step. Well, why should things be going my way? My response is, why shouldn't they? You see, people never take the time to think about what they think about. But when you do, you can redefine things and experience that feeling of luck just begin to infuse within you. And it was enlivening and empowering to you, wasn't it?
That feeling of confidence is so important.
Exactly.
Because without it, the foundation starts to crumble.
How does confidence come to be, though, George?
I guess security within yourself.
Confidence is a result of a procession of ideas that has to do with you defining what you can do, what you will do, what your outcome is, how committed to your outcome you are, and then becoming proactive and decisive and convict in your actions to produce the outcome that you believe you can. Confidence is both a cause and an effect. The cause, once you achieve and succeed with a certain action, it reinforces that confidence even more. But you hear the athletes say it all the time, don't you? Oh, we had our confidence working today. Everything was great. That's the key. But you can condition yourself to be confident. Why? Because everyone has had singular times, likely numerous times, when they did what the rest of the world thought was unbelievable, astonishing, extraordinary, yet you did it. And you did it well without even thinking about it. But what happens, George, is when people generate these kinds of what I call performance magnitude actions in their lives, then they begin to think about them and they say, wait a second, that's not me. That's something different than I am. And so they begin to move themselves back down to a level that they usually define themselves with.
Peter, when we come back, let's talk about how people are born. They can't be born unlucky. We talked about that, but we'll elaborate a little bit more on Coast to Coast AM.